now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? Live from the Command Center, located in the heart of Merced Church of Christ, this is Life from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends, taking you on this excursion into theology and other sundry matters. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. A lot going on in the news today. I'll start with this. Did you see this news story? Earthlings really are Martians, says New Theory. I won't get into very much of this. I don't think I need to. Other than to say that this is the latest idea that comes from Stephen Benner, professor at the Westheimer Institute of Science and Technology in Gainesville, Florida. He's going to present it at an international conference in Florence, Italy. It's only when molybdenum becomes highly oxidized that it is able to influence how early life form. 3 billion years ago on the surface of the Earth, had very little oxygen. Mars did, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I bring this up to say this is a theory put out there by atheists who are supposed to be smarter than us. Smarter than us theists, we who profess belief in a God who created life. This is it? This is your new latest great theory? I don't know. I don't understand it. And we theists live by faith. Are you kidding me? But that's not really what I wanted to talk about. In fact, the news story that I wanted to talk about, I don't even have up here. I just realized. But maybe you saw it. The NSA is saying that evangelical Christians as well as Catholics, they've been named extremists. They're on the NSA's extremist list. Religious extremists. We've been classified. People have, well, of course, these are evangelical Christians. We're not evangelical, non-denominational Church of Christ. So here's the article. Todd Starnes, Department of Defense classified Catholics and evangelical Christians as religious extremists, similar to Al-Qaeda, according to training manuals obtained by the Chaplain Agent Alliance, for Religious Liberty. They have a lengthy list here. Evangelical Christianity is number one. Catholicism is number... Well, that's down on the list a little bit. I can't see the numbers from here. Ultra-Orthodox, number three on the list. Sunni Muslims, Nation of Islam. Yeah. So, that's... The revelations come just days after Judicial Watch discovered a separate Pentagon training document that depicted the Founding Fathers as extremists and conservative organizations as hate groups. So there you have it. There, I don't understand. I maybe can understand evangelical Christianity. I'll show you why in just a minute. But why Catholics again? Is it because they believe in transubstantiation? Is that what it is? Is it because? Is it because they oppose abortion? And oh, by the way, they're labeled religious extremists because they're trying to protect a baby inside the mother's womb. And yet, how are these folks who are advocating for the slaughtering, the murder of babies in utero, how are they not labeled extremists? Maybe they're on a different list because they're not religious. I don't know. I don't understand that. But is it because the Pope, he's anti-homosexual? He's a bigoted homophobe. Again, that's not me. That's how folks classify him. Since he's come out in opposition to homosexuality, obviously he must be a bigoted homophobe like me. Yours truly, the host of this program. Well, listen, I hope the NSA is listening right now. I'm sure they are. And I'll probably, my website will probably be shut down here shortly because of what I'm about to tell you. But this is a world exclusive, folks. Here's a world exclusive. Why evangelical Christians and why probably Christians in general on some other list are classified as religious extremists. It's because, again, world exclusive, America's done. America is going down. America is doomed. If she doesn't repent. Hashtag repent. If America doesn't repent, she's doomed. That's what I come up with when it comes to religious extremism. Maybe that's why we made the list. But anyway, that's my take on the NSA and evangelicals. Does it really matter? What? You know who the religious extremists were in the Roman Empire? Yeah, you guessed it. Christ Church. His church, they were the religious extremists because they were monotheistic. They didn't worship Caesar as Lord or God. And they engaged in a form of cannibalism. That's how the pagans understood it, you understand. Because they ate the Lord's body and drank the Lord's blood. Okay? Well, there you have it. Maybe it's good that we're religious extremists. That we've been classified that. I don't know. I mean, we're supposed to be so kind, so milquetoast, it seems like. And if we're not, we get blasted by people who don't even know what it means to be Christians. I'm just saying. That wasn't very nice. Okay. My producer's telling me to keep it down. What I want to talk about is Miley Cyrus at the VMA. What? Oh, what in the world? Where'd that come from? Miley Cyrus, did you see this? I hope you didn't. I didn't see it. I still haven't seen the video. I refuse to go see the video. Here's the question I have. Because everybody's talking about how raunchy it was, right? Again, I didn't see it. And I'm going to take people's word for it. How raunchy does a performance have to be for even our secular culture to be outraged by it? Someone has said here recently, the West is dying before our eyes. You just saw the carcass on the stage at the VMAs as Miley Cyrus was doing whatever it was she was doing. It's all over the news. So I guess I've seen some clips. I didn't go on YouTube. Listen, I don't understand this. Someone on Facebook the other day, I won't name them. You probably don't know them anyway. But someone on Facebook, a man, who says that, you know, he's a Christian, put a Facebook post up about how, you know, this dude hasn't seen the VMAs. You know, what did Miley Cyrus do? I think that went out the night of her little performance. The next day, he posted something on Facebook. Oh, I watched it. Wow. Speechless. Something like that. I don't remember. My question is why? Why'd you go see it? You hear how raunchy, how terrible, how filthy it was, and you go and you search for it on YouTube, and you're a Christian? Come ye out and be separate. I thought we were called to lives of holiness, but it's okay to go watch. People encouraged him. It was in his comments. Yeah, go search it. It's on YouTube. You can find it. Look it up. Thanks. Again, this is a Christian man. What are we doing? Our culture has rejected it. Our culture's saying how raunchy it is. It's filthy. It's whatever. She out Lady Gaga'd Lady Gaga for crying out loud. You want to see that? You want to take a peek? How raunchy does a performance have to be for a secular culture to be outraged by it? Miley Cyrus answered that question for us at the VMAs. Hashtag VMA. Hashtag Cyrus from hell. Hashtag boring. How dead is your career that you need a reboot? That Hannah Montana gig's just not working out for you anymore, huh, Miley? How proud's Daddy, by the way? Speaking of Daddy, Frank Caliendo, did you see his tweet? If people didn't buy all those achy breaky hard albums, last night at VMAs never would have happened. He's a comedian. Hashtag Billy Ray Cyrus. Hashtag Madden football. I don't know. This just in to the Life from the Pulpit news desk. Flash. It's not getting better, folks. It's this culture, this society we live in, it's not getting better. In fact, our entire world has been devolving ever since, creation. Paul put it this way, 2 Timothy 3, in verse 13, evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Have you been deceived? Have you been tricked into thinking that it's acceptable to go on YouTube and search for the Miley Cyrus VMA performance? Don't get me wrong, YouTube's a good tool. I just started my own YouTube channel for the Life from the Pulpit Question of the Day segment. Search YouTube for the Life from the Pulpit channel, and you can see I've already posted two questions up. It can be a powerful tool, but it can also be a very destructive thing. Obviously, right? Hashtag Life from the Pulpit. There's some of you sitting out there going, what's a hashtag? It's a Twitter thing. What's a Twitter? Evil people will go from bad to worse. Just back up a few verses to chapter 2. Verse 16, we are to avoid irreverent babble. Man, you want to talk about a phrase that captures everything that's happening at the VMAs? All the music, listen, the music scene is dead. It's dead. I don't care if we're talking rap, country, rock and roll, or fake rock and roll, whatever it is today, alternative, punk, ska, whatever. What's a ska? It's dead. The whole music industry's dead. P. Diddy, notwithstanding. Whatever he's going, whatever his name is. Jay-Z, notwithstanding. It's dead. It's irreverent babble. The rap game is just, it's a front for thugs and reprobates. It's a thug culture. It's a violence culture. It's a sex culture. Irreverent babble. Boom. Hashtag irreverent babble. Avoid. We're supposed to avoid that. Christians are to avoid that. Go around it. Don't step in the mud holes. Yeah, here we are. Here we are on YouTube searching. Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. Man, Paul, I think he was onto something. I think he was... Mr. Producer, Mr. Holy Spirit, you got it right. Thank you very much. You want to talk about irreverent babble? Stuff that's going to lead to more and more ungodliness? How about the lyrics to some of the top pop songs right now? Let's talk about that briefly, because I got to get to some other stuff here. The lyrics to the top pop songs, including the song that Miss Cyrus was presenting at the VMAs, We Can't Stop. I read the news article, okay? This stuff is glamorizing and popularizing a lifestyle which is offensive to God. And that's a blanket statement for a lot of the not just her little pop songs, but the rap stuff, the country about Little Red Solo cups. Oh, but it's okay. Social drinking. Okay. You make the argument, but It just seems like there are certain things that a Christian shouldn't be associated with. Am I way off base on that? Examples of the lyrics I'm talking about. Love who you want. Really? Well, that's deep philosophy. Love who you want. Don't judge. You ain't God. You're right. You are absolutely right. I am not God. I don't want to be God because that's that's his prerogative. But I'll tell you this much. God's spoken about this stuff. He's not silent about this. He's not silent about homosexual relationships. I can't even change even if I tried. That's another line from a popular pop song. I'm not going to name these because then you're going to look them up on YouTube. Hashtag shame on you. Born This Way. Thank you, Lady Gaga. Ah, what did I do there? Born. It's the title of the song. Born This Way. Born This Way. I've dealt with that before. I can't change even if I tried. You mean to tell me that there are some temptations that are stronger and that are more than we can bear? That there are sins even God's grace is powerless to enable us to overcome? That's what that means. I can't change even if I... So here's what I did. Let's illustrate absurdity with absurdity, shall we? Just how absurd this is. I just wrote a number one hit song today. It's my own song. I came up with it. I might have borrowed some stuff, but hey, patent pending. Here's how it goes. These are the lyrics. I haven't figured out the music for it yet, but here are the lyrics. It's my life. I can do what I want. Don't judge me, you racist, sexist, bigoted, homophobic Christians, because someone loves me, and I can't change even if I tried or even if I wanted. That's a number one hit today in the pop. It is. That's what they're singing about. That's what they might as well be singing. You put all this stuff together, throw it into a big pot. This is the irreverent babble of our day. This is the junk which is passing as number one hits. This is the stuff which this present generation is being exposed to, even on a daily basis. And it's no wonder that we have... You track the numbers. Generation after generation after generation are being more lax, are answering surveys that they are more willing to accept certain kind of lifestyles in culture, predominantly the homosexual lifestyle. Which I wrote a song about that, but I don't think I could say that on the air and get away with it. Plus, there are probably, you know, certain sensitivities out in the audience. I don't want to offend anybody. But, yeah. So, here's the thing. Christians living in this culture, what should we do? I ran across a little story. I think everyone knows about Jonathan Edwards, the sermon that he preached entitled Sermons in the Hands of an Angry God. In fact, that sermon... In a California high school, I grew up here in California, I went to high school here in California, and believe it or not, that's right, folks, in a California high school, we had to read an excerpt of that sermon for English. Shocking, I know. That's a world exclusive, by the way. Jonathan Edwards preached this sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He delivered it in a monotone voice, with his face so close to the paper that the people couldn't even see his face. And yet, men and women were going nuts that day in the church house. One guy jumped up and shouted, Mr. Edwards, have mercy! People were grabbing hold of the back of pews because they were afraid they were about to be dropped into the pit he was talking about. Women were fainting. People thought the judgment had come. The effects of that sermon, by the way, still reach down to today, I believe. It still required reading in certain high school literature classes. Most people know about that sermon, but they don't know about the circumstances leading to that sermon. Everybody focuses on the sermon, and that was a kickoff to a great awakening up there in the Northeast, right? You don't know the backstory behind this. And without the backstory, you just think because of his powerful preaching. Listen, he delivered in a monotone voice. He read a manuscript. His face was so close to the paper, people couldn't see his face. Well, it's the words. Okay, fine. But there is a backstory to this. You see, there were some believers in the vicinity of Enfield, Massachusetts, where all this thing went down. They'd become alarmed because they saw that God was blessing other places, but he seemed to be passing them by. And they interpreted that as God was passing over them in his anger. You know what they did? The night before Jonathan Edwards got up and preached his sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, they met that night and they spent the whole night in agonizing prayer to God. The rest, as they say, is history. Could it be that the reason there is not a revival in America, that there's no third great awakening, Glenn Beck notwithstanding, I've heard him talk about how he's the third great awakening, I beg your pardon, you're not leading it. The reason there's no third great awakening in America is not for lack of powerful preaching, but for lack of persistent, sustained, fervent prayer on behalf of the people. Gasp. Here's the other question. Do we even want a third great awakening? I'm just asking. Do we even want that? I'll tell you, based upon our attitudes and our actions, if we really wanted a third great awakening, would we be thinking and doing the things that we're thinking and doing? I'm not talking about culture. I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about what's happening at the VMAs. I'm talking about what's happening in your church, our churches. I'll include us in this. Look at how we treat prayer. We relegate it to five brief, emphasis on the brief, by the way, five brief prayers. Six if someone comes forward, Sunday morning. That's about it. Not to mention, you know, save Sunday p.m. and Wednesday p.m. because most people don't come back for those anyway. We don't even pray together unless we're having a meal. And we bemoan Miley Cyrus's performance at the VMAs. We condemn five black young men who shoot a college student in Oklahoma and they beat an elderly gentleman to death up in, was it Washington? We lament these, and rightly so, we lament the multiple rapes of women and children in this country. We complain about the partisan politics in Washington. We point to the thug culture, the violence culture, the drug culture, various other cultures in our country. We wring our hands when we consider that no one is interested in the Bible or God, even though they're coming up with these fantastic theories about how life came from Mars. And then we have the audacity to sit on the sidelines, sit on the stump of do little and whittle on the stick of do less, as Mr. Jimmy Allen used to put it, and ask God for a blessing? Lord, we know not how to go till a blessing you bestow. Yet we don't engage him in prayer. We don't engage in deep, meaningful fellowship with one another. We don't put God's word into practice on a daily basis. Folks, there's a reason that they are called spiritual disciplines. But the question has been aptly put. Someone has said, how do you wake someone up who isn't really asleep? If they don't really want to be awakened, you can't. Dare I say that American Christians don't want to be woken up from their spiritual slumber. We're asleep and we love it. Folks, if we refuse to be awakened, Christ will refuse to shine on us. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Awake, thou that sleepest, rise from the dead, Christ will shine on you. Sponsor this half hour. This half hour brought to you by the Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to worship God, proclaiming His love and salvation in Christ, and to care for the lost and for one another. In other words, we want to see as many people as possible following Jesus as closely as possible, all toward a more united fellowship. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for a midweek Bible study on Wednesday at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, yours truly, Nick Perez. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, making and maturing disciples. All right, question of the day time.
And now it's time for the question of the day. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
When were the Gospels written? When were the Gospels written? That's a great question. There's all kinds of bad scholarship, bad ideas out there about when the Gospels were being written, how they pulled from this mysterious source called Q, which is just a bunch of sayings of Jesus compiled into a single document in Matthew and Mark and Luke, and they all pulled from the same Q source. And John just sort of did his own thing later on. There's a lot of bad ideas out there about how it wasn't until 2nd, possibly 3rd century when the Gospels weren't being written. Folks, don't buy that for a second. In fact, we have manuscripts that go back very, very far to within just a few decades of when these Gospels were written. Not even a full century in some cases. So that's the thing we got to keep in mind when we understand this. We have guys who were quoting from these documents just decades after they were written. And you can get to an entire discussion here about manuscript evidence and comparing it to secular sources like the Odyssey and the Iliad and writings of philosophers and stuff like that, all to show when it comes to what's known as the acid test, the New Testament documents stand up to the test, okay? But here's the thing. When were they written? Most scholars that you read, in terms of religious scholars, they'll approximate dates for each of these writings. From what I found, typically Matthew, Mark, and Luke were written somewhere between 50 and 75 AD, somewhere in that window. Mark was probably first, although there are some arguments out there that Matthew was first, then Mark, then Luke. Luke, I would say, was probably the third of the four Gospels written. In my opinion, I think we see Mark, then Matthew, then Luke. And again, somewhere between 50-55 AD to around 75 at the latest AD. John, though, he's a little different, comes a little later. We're probably talking there. And in fact, John, you can probably date his gospel to maybe the 75 date or a little later. A lot of people put him in the 90s. I don't think you have to go that far. In fact, I think he was done writing probably by about 85 AD. But again, that's just me. that's the bottom line is, of course, they wrote their Gospels after the events which they recorded took place, right? That's the thing. They record the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Those things had happened. It had been a couple of decades, and then these guys start putting pen to parchment, Mark to the Roman audience, Matthew for a Jewish audience, Luke for a more Gentile audience, and then John is sort of viewed as a universal gospel. So definitely written in the first century, decades after the events that they record. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook for the Life from the Pulpit Facebook page. Like that page. You get all the updates when I go live with a podcast, update the blog, or now when I post something on YouTube. Follow me on Twitter at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All my commentary there on Luke, James, 1 John, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your daily Bible study. As mentioned early in the program, there is a new YouTube channel out there, Life from the Pulpit TV. Just Life from the Pulpit. Search YouTube for that, and you can find it there. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store for the Life from the Pulpit podcast. Download all the episodes to your particular iDevice, and you'll never be more than a click away from the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.